From KCRW in Santa Monica, this is The Treatment.
Welcome to The Treatment, which you can also hear at KCRW.com. I'm Elvis Mitchell. My guest, Mike White, is a writer, director, and sometimes actor. His work as a screenwriter and director includes a kind of aesthetic, I think, that includes both comedy and melodrama, often simultaneously. From School of Rock to The Good Girl, one of my favorites of his, and his newest, Year of the Dog. Mike, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
We've got to talk a little bit about Year of the Dog, which you wrote and directed. First of all, tell the audience what it's about.
Well, it's about Molly Shannon plays this woman, Peggy, who, she's a career secretary. She's single. She doesn't have love in her life, but she does have this beagle that she's kind of obsessed with. And it's what happens is the beagle kind of unexpectedly dies in the beginning of the movie. And it's about how she tries to replace the love that she has for this beagle somewhere else, put it somewhere else, and the kinds of comical dead ends she encounters. And ultimately, I think she sort of comes to learn more about herself and life. And that's the movie.
It's amazing because this project seems to be kind of an apotheosis of the kind of things you've done before, where this sort of tricky blend of comedy and melodrama, which could border on comedy and then goes through the other side to become comedy again. How do you work these things out for yourself? How do you write these scripts?
It gets complicated as it goes along because you become very particular in terms of what you like and you don't like as time goes on. And so, you know, it's like I like a story that has some, like you said, like that's absurd, but also has some, you know, earnest ideas that I'm trying to explore, and it's, you know, it becomes sort of a tricky balance of how to like, you know, nicely blend those elements in a way that's pleasing to me.
It's funny to me because you're sort of thinking about John Hughes. It's almost like what you're doing is sort of taking that incredible earnestness of all that John Hughes stuff and kind of making fun of it, but not making fun of the characters.
Well, I think, you know, some people accuse me of making fun of the characters. I definitely get that a lot. People say, you know, like when I made The Good Girl, people were like, you're making fun of poor people who work in Walmart. And it's odd for me to hear that. But
I don't think that you do. Do you think are you making fun of them?
I mean, I feel like it's like, you know, does Blades of Glory make fun of the character? I mean, it's like, to me, like, comic characters, I like comedy, and I like to have fun with the characters. I like it to be funny, and I think that in comedy, people are not as, you know, like, sometimes self-aware, you know, and it's, but I actually relate, you know, to practically every character that I write. So I if I'm making fun of them, I'm making fun of myself. But I don't think that holds a lot of interest to me to create characters that I'm making fun of. So you know, if people feel that way, I feel like that's not really what I'm intending to do. So
no, I didn't think so either, because I don't think there's any real cruelty towards the characters. I mean, they live in cruel worlds, certainly, and they're the objects of cruelty even. But you're not cruel towards them, or I never thought that you were.
Well, I think sometimes they are, you know, I think in Year of the Dog and some other stuff, that I think that people don't realize how they're hurting each other sometimes. And I think that sometimes it comes off as like, you know, one person read the script of Year of the Dog and I was like, the people are so disappointing. They disappoint her. And that's true. And I do think that that's true in life, but I don't think I'm making fun of them. I certainly don't feel like I'm making fun of Peggy in Year of the Dog.
It's The Treatment, my guest is writer-director Mike White. His new film is Year of the Dog. Well, just talking before we got started, I think I figured out now finally who the archetype for all your characters are, male and female. Shelley Winters from the Poseidon Adventure, aren't they?
That's so weird that you say that, because I was obsessed with Shelley Winters. I went down to the Academy when I was like 10 years old, and to read the Poseidon Adventures, because I heard that like they had all these screenplays in their library, and I really wanted to read the Poseidon Adventure script. And they told me when I got there, the secretary there was saying that Shelley Winters had just herself delivered the Poseidon Adventure script to them with her notes on it. And I was like, I literally was shaking. I was like, Shelley Winters was just here. Ugh, if I had just come 2 days before, I could have partied with Shelley. I remember reading like Shelley Winters' autobiography when I was like way too young to understand what it was really about. But like, was Shelley also known as Shirley and all of her like love affairs over her life?
How old were you when you read the Shelley Winters autobiography?
I don't know. I couldn't have been more than 10 years old. I was like, and it was like this really fat book. I remember walking around with it already knowing that I was completely a freak.
What? What could a 10-year-old possibly see in Shelley Winters? What did you think?
I remember her death scene in the Poseidon Adventure. I just thought she was just dope. She was like, you know, she like swam. She was like big and chubby, but she like swam. She saved his life, and then she like had her death scene. And she, I don't know, it's just really, I don't know, it was just really into her. I had a Matchbox car named after Lee Grant from the Airport movies, but I also had a Shelley Winters Matchbox car. I will admit.
How did you pick the cars you named after these suffering actresses?
Well, I had names after actors too.
Okay. Who would say?
I don't know. I like my Matchbox cars all had genders, so I like some were guys and some were girls, and they would like reenact movie scenes with my Matchbox cars.
So you made movies with the Matchbox cars as the actors.
Yes.
Who's some of the other people in the Mike White stable / garage?
Well, I was really into like disaster movies, and so like. There was Lee Grant from The Airport and Shelley Winters from Poseidon Adventure, Olivia de Havilland because she was in The Swarm, that Irwin Allen movie about bees.
Bees, yes.
I was really into that movie. Yeah, so I had a Robert Vaughn car and a Robert Wagner car.
What kind of movies would you make with the cars? What would you do? Tell me about this.
I staged disaster movies, and sometimes the cars had to die just like they did in the movie. Like I'd take a shovel to one of the cars and then bury them in the backyard.
What was the first movie you ever made, the first thing you ever wrote?
First thing I ever wrote, well, I was in second grade. My teacher was Sam Shepard's mother.
Wow.
And I had a total crush on her. I just thought she was so cool and she was so nice. And so she told me, you know, she was really into her son, obviously, and that was like the first idea. And that was the first time I kind of realized that people were playwrights or that they wrote. And so I actually got, like, the script of Buried Child when I was, like, in second grade. And of course, I didn't understand any of it. But I just liked the way that, like, words laid out on the page.
Uh-huh.
And so I tried writing. I ended up writing The Emperor's – I did my version of The Emperor's New Clothes, and they staged it behind the classroom. And I was, like, so, like heady from the experience. I think that's where I first got the idea that I was going to start writing stuff.
So you were doing the Brothers Grimm and Sam Shepard simultaneously?
Exactly. And I would stage the airport. I staged Airport 77 on the bleachers during recess with all my friends. And we did it for the teacher, like where everyone was just falling and dying. And I was orchestrating it all. Those were good times.
It's the treatment. My guest is disaster film aficionado, Matchbox garage owner, and writer-director Mike White. His new film is Year of the Dog. But there's those movies, obviously, at that time, they seemed pretty campy to a lot of people. But I'm guessing you took some of those disaster pictures really seriously because they're completely shameless about emotion.
What I actually liked was how the people were eliminated. It was just like how – I liked how like it was kind of like – it was actually anti-sentimental because you'd have – I mean it was sentimental in the sense that like you know there's a lot of hand-wringing over different people dying. But it was always – it felt – like in the Poseidon Adventure, I liked how it felt random which ones lived and which ones died. It was like, you know, it wasn't like just the nice people lived and the, you know, the bad people. It was just and I remember they had like these sort of teaser ads when the Poseidon Adventure came out and they had all the different actors and it was like who will live and who will die. And I remember that really captured my imagination. I was like, who will live and who will die? I don't know. So I remember I liked that, like, you know, like the sweet old lady, she would get stung by a swarm of bees and die. And then the, you know, it wasn't so obvious who was going to kick it.
But it's funny because I guess you've never really done a genre picture. It makes me think, oh, makes me wonder if you've ever wanted to do one, because certainly Freaks and Geeks, which was your show, which is about which is a show about obsession and about how obsession can make people feel marginalized.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like that's a lot of stuff I do. Obsession.
It is, isn't it?
Marginalized.
It is. And obviously that sort of comes from the kind of obsession that you were capable of, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I certainly feel like in my life, like in this, whatever, the business, you feel like you have to be sort of obsessed in order to get anything done.
How do you mean? Well,
you just to, like, get a movie made. It's like you have to, like, you know, be obsessed to write it and then be obsessed to, like, you know, take all the no's that you get and to, you know, push it forward and to get all the people involved and then to, you know, stomach the what I'm doing right now, which is, like, to get all of the responses and all the different people, you know, weighing in on whether it's valuable or worthy. And then to just, you know, start back again, start pushing the boulder up the next time. You know, it takes a certain kind of obsessive, you know, thinking.
Do those responses ever slow you down? I mean, how do you respond to them yourself?
Well, not really. I mean, in the end, it takes me, you know, whatever. I rally. I'm indomitable, like Peggy. But, you know, sometimes, you know, I don't know. I'm a sensitive soul, as creative people are. So you know, it's like you build a tough skin, but you also, you know, you also sometimes crawl into the cave and lick your wounds.
Guys, you're talking about this stuff, though, and just the stuff with your teacher. I can't help but think about Chuck and Buck, mm-hmm. which is, you know, that whole sequence of the play being staged and everything.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
clear. What about it?
Well, I'm guessing it's a tiny bit autobiographical.
Well, definitely I do. I mean, I'm like Buck in the sense that, like, there's definitely a personal component that inspires me to write. It's, you know, like I feel like, you know, and it's probably why I haven't done a genre movie in a sense, because I feel like, you know, I come at it from a desire to self-express and, I don't know, reveal something about myself in the work in a sense. And, you know, so movies that are just kind of about other movies feel less interesting to me, unless it was maybe about the Poseidon Adventure. I don't know.
Did that come to you? Did you ask for a chance to rewrite or to write that remake of the Poseidon Adventure of last year?
Well, actually, I was somewhere where they were. I guess I had a meeting with somebody who was about to go into audition for that. And I remember I knew the executive at Warner Brothers who was running. I was like, why am I not being brought in for the Poseidon Adventure? When I ended up seeing them, I didn't actually see the remake, but when I saw who they cast in it, I was like, oh, clearly there was no part for me. But it would have definitely been a childhood fantasy to be in the like, you know, in the main room where, like, the ship falls over and I, like, fly through some, like, you know, stained glass window as the boat tips over.
It's The Treatment. My guest is writer-director Mike White. His new film is Year of the Dog. What made you decide you wanted to use Molly Shannon for the film?
Well, something about Molly Shannon's comedy just kills me. I mean, I love how she can be really broad, but, like, I really like her when she's pitched real, like, quiet. Like, you know, when she talks really quietly. Like, when she did, like, she actually did a parody of, like, NPR on the Saturday Night Live, she did, like, a cooking show.
The cooking show, yes. NPR, you know? Yes.
And she talked really quiet, and they talked about, like, you know, basting a turkey or something. And it was just the way and she had a really small part in Happiness, that Todd Solondz movie, where she played, like, a co-worker in that. And there was just something perverse about her when she's really subtle. And I also got to know her personally, and she's just such a cool person, and I just thought it would be fun to do something with her where she got to be more kind of pitched down and something where she could actually play some drama too. And so
it was fascinating, because I would say the thing is that maybe she and Jack, who we work with, Jack Black, have in common is they have incredibly intense eyes.
They both have a very appealing sort of comedy to me. It's a very sort of childlike, you know, whimsical, you know, quality that I can relate to.
It's also that thing, I guess the word indomitable keeps coming up here, but this sort of thing about them that won't be stopped, that they sort of they fit into that level of obsession that we're talking about, don't they?
Yeah, they definitely have the wild-eyed, obsessive gene.
And on that note, we'll take a break. My guest is the writer-director Mike White. His new film as writer-director is Year of the Dog. I'm Elvis Mitchell. It's The Treatment.
Shake it, don't break it.
You're listening to The Treatment with Elvis Mitchell from the studios of KCRW Santa Monica.
Welcome back. It's The Treatment. I'm Elvis Mitchell in KCRW in Santa Monica. My guest, writer-director Mike White, is in New York. We're talking about his career. His new film as writer-director is Year of the Dog. Where did the movie come from for you, Year of the Dog?
I had an experience similar to Peggy's in that I was in the middle of doing this TV show that actually Molly was a star of for Fox. That was like one of the most hellish working experiences I'd ever had. They like kept trying to like really like rein me in and take a, you know, like they just kept changing the show. And
but what was it, I mean, that they didn't get about the show? Because obviously there's no point in hiring you because you clearly got a body of work. It wasn't like they were hiring a novice, a first timer to this. They can't hire you and not know what you've done, especially since you did Pasadena for them, right?
Yeah. I think the problem was that School of Rock came out like right in the middle of doing the show and people were like, wait a minute, you can do like a down the middle mainstream comedy that's fun for the whole family and like that's what we want. Do that. And it was already three episodes in and it was like Molly Shannon, Jason Schwartzman. It was a great cast. We had really cool people come in and do spots on it. But they really, you know, it was, Fox has changed sort of. They, you know, started off as sort of the rowdy, you know, Married with Children Network, and now they're the American Idol Network, and they wanted, you know, they want shows that can retain the 30 million people that are watching Idol, and clearly the show that I had created for them was not that show. And it was just super frustrating, and in the middle of it, this stray cat that lived behind my house, like, died on me, and I was, like, a total emotional basket case over it. And I ended up writing a really depressing episode of the show, which they hated even more than the other episodes, and then and then the show basically shut down. I mean, I had a nervous breakdown. I was like kind of like having like I'd sit in front of the computer and like my I felt like I was having a heart attack and like my eyes kept, you know, like I was crying, but I didn't even know I was upset. It was like it was basically I was like it was like my first nervous breakdown. So I was like so and then they shut the show down because I was like, you know, I was completely insane. And so when it was all over, I was like, well, that was kind of an interesting life experience and maybe I could concoct something out of that.
It's The Treatment, I guess, as writer-director, TV show creator Mike White. We're talking about his career and his news film as writer-director is Year of the Dog. And everything you do, there's a kind of an interesting and odd tenderness. And I always wonder how you come to that because you mentioned Todd Solondz and that's something that his work has too. I mean, you both sort of could play around with, I mean, comedy and an intersection between comedy and melodrama, not drama because it's all heightened. And I just wonder where that sort of comes in for you as you're writing. Are you aware of it or is it something you work at consciously?
You know, the thing is like, you know, it's, you know, comedies that are just kind of that don't have a little bit of that sometimes feel like an empty experience to me and dramas that have no sense of humor feel I don't know. That isn't what I want to make either. So you know, in the end, I kind of want to like, you know, have my cake and eat it too. I want to be able to laugh and at the same time, I feel like I want it to have a heart, as they say.
Well, I just think about Jennifer Aniston in The Good Girl. Her character almost seems to be kind of a representative of a lot of things you've done that she doesn't know what to do with her hands. So they're like locked to the side of her body. And there's that sort of physical discomfort that either some character in what you've done has or a kind of discomfort that the situations cause?
Well, usually it comes out of the – I try to make it so it comes out of the character in their, like, attempt to find happiness. They sort of mess things up for themselves. And I certainly, you know, like – I like writing sort of comic, awkward tension scenes. And I guess because that's – something I experience on a regular occurrence. So I like people creating their own sort of comic fiascos and try to figure out a way to, you know, save them from themselves.
But I guess as we're talking about this, one of the things that we often tend to think about in comedy, there's a kind of a mechanical aspect to it, or a kind of a ruthlessness, a kind of a pushing through, and there's feeling in this awkwardness that comes out of the stuff that you do.
Yeah, well, I mean, I definitely feel like when I'm writing, I'm in an emotional state of sympathy for the character, and so, you know, I it seems like there's times where in the process of the story where, you know, I let that emotion, you know, emerge, and I like feeling for the character, and I certainly with Peggy and You're the Dog, I have sympathy for her, and when she's crying, I'm crying.
Is that true?
Oh yeah. I mean, that's the best part of writing, is where you really get sort of it's an emotional cathartic experience, you know, where, you know, it's like, I remember when I was writing The Good Girl and I realized that I was going to kill off Jake Gyllenhaal's character. And I just like flopped down on the bed and wept for the death of the character. And it was totally, yeah, I get really sort of emotionally wrapped up in the story. Which is funny because I get a lot of criticism that like it's like, oh, there's no, you know, that I'm, it's like a cynic's view or something.
Well, that's why I keep talking to you about feeling you for these characters, because I don't think there's anything cynical about them at all. I think there's a...
Well, talk to David Denby, wouldn't you, Elvis?
David Denby's
amongst
a film
others,
critic in New York.
Amongst many others.
Many others. But see, there's this thing. I often think that when comedy is often about discomfort at the same time, and it's tough for people to sort of reconcile that, because they want comedy to do kind of one thing. And we're used to a certain kind of – just a kind of breeziness or a kind of toughness in comedy. And there's people in your comedies are really kind of – they're suffering. I mean, you're not – again, I don't think you're making fun of them. They're going through a lot, and there's certainly a cruelty of fate. But I don't think that they're people that you're cynical about, these characters.
I think in a weird way, some of the criticism comes more from the dramatic point of view, which is like – people want their dramas with more verisimilitude, and some of the sort of comic, like playing with language that I do, you know, like ends up feeling like it feels more, there's more artifice to it. And I think it's that weird interplay between something that feels like there's an emotional, trying to get at something emotionally true, but there's also a lot of like artifice both in the like language and in sort of, you know, the way that you play with the characters, that I think that, I don't know, it's just, it's like, it's a uncomfortable mix for some people.
It's The Treatment. My guest is writer-director Mike White. We're talking about his new film, Year of the Dog. Do you feel that sometimes maybe this response is because people think what you're doing is arch?
Yeah, this weird sense that I, you know, you get a lot where there, you know, it's like this constant comment, and it's not just about my stuff, but like I remember when I did Nacho Libre with Jared Hess, who did Napoleon Dynamite, and like the Coen brothers, or, you know, different people, and they say they're making fun of their characters, or there's this sense of like, you know, that it's like all very ironic or cynical, and I understand where that comes from. I see, I guess, why they say it, but it's definitely not the spirit with which I approach writing. I just don't like things that just are, you know, just have no wit and are just sort of earnest or, you know, underwritten in a sense. Like, I like to, you know, I like to sort of have fun with the dialogue and like, I don't know, it's just my own sort of aesthetic, but
what you're saying is,
everybody.
You don't like things that are just one note at one time. You like things to be a bit more complicated.
Well, I remember, like, writing The Good Girl and really enjoying that, like, you know, I was really feeling it. At the same time, I'm laughing, you know, and I do like that as both as a moviegoer and also as a writer, and watching people watch my movies and having people crying and laughing at the same scene. Like, there's a scene in Year of the Dog where Peter Sarsgaard's dog has been killed by Molly's dog, and he's on the floor and he's weeping, and he's, you know, really traumatized by it. And I, it's really pleasurable to have people be crying in the audience and the person next to them laughing uproariously. And I like that something can contain both reactions and that, you know, it isn't so pre-digested. I mean, I just love movies myself where depending on my mood, I will see them as like these really, you know, absurd deadpan comedies. And then on a different mood, I see them, you know, you can see them as like this, these real tragic, you know, heartfelt movies. And I just, it's just that something can be both is an exciting idea.
What are some of those movies for you? What do you think of when you think of those kinds of films?
Well, I think of a movie like Badlands to me, which is like, you know, one of the like just funniest scripts of all time. I just love the language of it and just some just the you know, it's such a existential absurd movie. At the same time, like, you know, there's moments that are just so poetic and lyrical and sweet and have such an interesting sentiment to it. And, you know, depending on what mood I'm in, I have such a different reaction to those movies. I mean, there's some, certainly I feel like sometimes that's true about mine, that, you know, it's like you feel like if it isn't pre-digested and it isn't just, you know, simply comic or simply, you know, earnest or dramatic, that you have people having lots of different reactions. So, you know, it's like you want to win the popularity contest. You want there to be a unanimity or a consensus about what you've done. But at the same time, if you set out to do something that kind of sometimes pulls the rug out from under the audience, you can't then be bummed when, you know, some of the audience doesn't forgive you for it.
Is that important to you, really, the popularity contest? You just mentioned Badlands, which is certainly not a movie that was popular on its initial release.
Well, in the moment, like right now, as I go around getting reactions from people and you hear that someone doesn't like the movie, yeah, I mean, obviously that, you know, it feels like a, you know, a slug in the chest. But at the same time, like I've been through this before and, you know, you realize like, you know, like a movie like Chuck and Buck, like I got such weird reactions from that movie and people who were like, you know, really angry about it and, you know, but also very positive stuff. And you just realize that like as time goes on, it ends up, you know, something like that has a different kind of shelf life, or you know, it seems to be. And so that some people come back to it and have a different reaction. And what's funny is some critics who didn't like it the first time around, like, will now like say, yeah, the dog's no Chuck and Buck, you know, or whatever. But, you know, it's everybody deals with like criticism in what you do. And you just kind of have to take the good of the bad.
Well, we're out of time. Mike, would you please do the show again? I would love it if you came back.
Okay, for sure.
My guest is writer-director Mike White. We've been talking about his entire career, but his newest film as writer-director is Year of the Dog. Our technical director at KCRW Santa Monica is Mario Diaz, with assistance from Lashik Wojcik at Carnegie Recording Studios in New York. Bob Carlson is the editor, Gemma Dempsey the producer. I'm Elvis Mitchell. It's The Treatment.
An audio archive of this and other programs can be found at kcrw.com. For questions and comments about The Treatment, please email us at thetreatment@kcrw.com. The Treatment is produced and distributed by KCRW Santa Monica.